Good morning and welcome to the radio broadcast of the Grace Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio. Grace Baptist Church is located at 704 North Firestone Boulevard, and you'll find it is a perfect place for imperfect people. Stay with us for the next few moments, and just like at Grace Baptist Church, on this radio broadcast, you'll hear some great music and some great preaching from our pastor, Reverend Bob Stevens.
Thank you for coming over today. Glad you are here. Can you believe it is Palm Sunday? The people cried. We know it as Hosanna, Hosanna. But they were crying, save us, save us. And I'm thankful to say I've been saved. I hope you have been too. Hey, I would like to invite you to come on out to church today. Get the jump on the Easter rush. 10 o'clock this morning, the address, as you just heard, 704 North Firestone Boulevard, right here in Akron.
I walk by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside, and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to the garden where old Joseph left him lay. The precious Lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he alive. If you found him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? Just one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him,
He is alive. Oh, I love it. You know, a lot of other religions talk about what their leader said, you know, but our God did something. He died on a cross. He shed his blood to take away our sin. That's what separates Christianity from other religions. Our God did something for us instead of us trying to do something for a God. And when I say God, I mean small g, because we serve the living God, capital G. Hey, and I'm glad you are with us today. Hey, I would like to remind you, Saturday, May 2nd at the Hartville Kitchen, it will be our mother-daughter banquet. Saturday, May 2nd. The cost is $21 per person. Now, you need to get signed up for that here at our church, at our Welcome Center. Just want to remind you of that. Ladies, you listening in? Love for you to be a part of that. Well, here's what we'll do. Let's play another song from my brother Mike Gardner. And Mike will take us right into the message from our pastor emeritus, Reverend Phil Hogan. And I believe this will be a blessing to you. You will enjoy this. And again, I say thank you for tuning in. I'm looking forward to seeing you at 10 o'clock this morning, 10 o'clock. The address, once again, 704 North Firestone Boulevard, right here in Akron. Or if it's easier, you can hop on our website, www.gbcakron.com. That .com is important. And you can find directions there. GPS can bring you right here to church. So I'll see you at 10 o'clock. Lord bless you. Thank you again for tuning in. See you at 10.
He walked the Via Dolorosa, struggled just to stay upright. The beams were heavy on his shoulders, pushed along by Roman soldiers. Love could not give up the fight. They formed a cross and laid him on it, drove the nails into his hands. Some may see a broken spirit, all I see is love and mercy where the cross of Calvary stands. You can't say he didn't love us. You can't say he didn't love us. You can't say he didn't love us. Oh, and he loved us from the cross. Find that thing that was real and true. All along the cross of Calvary was the price that he paid for me, so that I could make it through. Corrupt. you get saved and lost. You get saved and lost. You get saved and lost. When he loved us from the cross.
So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6. And I don't know, do they have anything up there? Okay. You don't need your Bibles anymore. We got that thing. That works pretty good. But just in case that goes bad, I bring a Bible. Now I want to talk to you today about what happens when things go bad. Or when you have a bad day. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I got a good idea that everybody has had a bad day. Oh, let's raise our hands. Yeah, that's pretty much true. And I used to have those hair-pulling days, but when you only got four hairs left, you quit doing that. Now, in Galatians, it's going to give us some information on what to do about those days. And I'll read verse 9 and 10 and verse 17 and 18 of Galatians chapter 6. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now that means everybody, but he qualifies something. Especially unto them who are the household of faith. So you are to search out ways to help your Christian brother and sister, and especially them. Verse 17 and verse 18, from henceforth, this is the Apostle Paul now, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Days that go from bad to worse, from jumping from the frying pan into the fire, yeah, when you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place, when a little voice comes to you and says, cheer up, things could be worse, so you cheer up and things got worse, yeah. When the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train, I like what one lady said. She said, I'm on the verge of a nervous breakdown, so the only thing that's holding me together is my hairspray. So what usually is our problem with bad days, bad things, and bad people? We've all had those. So what do we do when we have days like this? Well, number one, let me give you some advice. Number one, take an honest look at our relationship with God. How is our relationship? Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now he talks about a fault there. That fault really has the idea of some kind of sin in the life. There is sin. If there is sin in our life, no sin goes without its consequences. Now, that doesn't mean we have eternal consequences for our sin. You're saved. You'll never have to face those sins in eternity. But in this life, we still pay for those sins, you see. So be sure, the Bible says, your sin will find you out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, so shall he also reap. So many times, calamities, sorrows, one problem after another is a result of being in sin or having sin in your life, or as a Christian being backslidden. So we need to take spiritual inventory and ask the question, which is very difficult, am I right with God? Now that's hard to be honest with ourselves, and harder yet to judge ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So it is very difficult, but it's better that we judge ourselves and ask God's forgiveness and take short accounts with God. So be sure of this. No one escapes the consequences of their sin. You can run, but you can't what? Hide. Yes. Old Testament example of this, and it's an odd scripture, but it illustrates the point that you can't hide from your sin. You can't hide from God. Amos chapter 5 and verse 19 says, as if a man did flee from a lion, he's running from a lion, and a bear met him. In other words, you can't escape. You may escape the lion, but then there's the bear. Or went into the house and leaned on the wall, and a serpent bit him. So no matter what happens, be sure your sin will find you out. Yes. So you can run, but you can't hide. A missionary was running from a lion, at which I would too. And it dawned on him that he's not going to outrun the lion. So he knelt to pray and asked God for deliverance. About that time, the lion came up, knelt down, and prayed beside him. He felt so good about that until the lion looked over and said, I don't know what you're praying for, but I'm saying grace. Anyways, Amos is saying, we had better be careful about the life we are living down here. You can't run from God. Be sure your sin will find you out. And then don't lose heart. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now a teacher was trying to prepare their class and trying to give them the idea of perseverance, of never quitting, of keep on keeping on. And so she used this illustration. He drove straight to his goal. He looked neither to the right nor to the left, but pressed forward, moved by a definite purpose. Neither friend nor foe could delay him nor turn him from his course. All who crossed his path did so at their own peril. Who would you call this man? Or what would you call this man? One man said, or one of the kids said, a truck driver. Don't give up. Let us not grow weary. Don't lose heart. Don't faint. Persevere. See it through. Thomas A. Edison said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success but gave up. Henry Ford said, failure is the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. Do you know his first car? He forgot to put a reverse gear in it. So he said, we can just start again, no matter what our failures are. And I don't know if I've made any failures. Of course, we've all made a few, but we just need to keep on keeping on. You see, sometimes we get away from God, but we can come back to God. We can keep on keeping on. So persevere, keep on keeping on. There is a due season. You know, a farmer realizes that there is always a due season, and he knows eventually if he keeps on, there will be a harvest. Things will change. Give it time. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So in the midst of trials and difficulties, you may be going through some right now. I think of, I sit in the balcony most of the time because if I sleep, nobody notices. But I look through the congregation from there down to here, and am so surprised, and I pray for those that I think about when I look down at how many wives have lost their husbands and how difficult that must be, and how many husbands have lost their wives. Not as many husbands have lost wives as wives have lost husbands. Men don't live as long as women. I think we bail out, don't you? Anyways, I pray for them. I pray for you. I know these are difficult times, but the Bible teaches us that sometimes death comes because there's something worse in store, and God keeps those who love the Lord from going through those things. And so in some of your cases, It may just be that God has taken your loved one so they didn't have to go through greater problems and trials. And so I pray for you. I know, I realize that if Vera passed away, I don't know what I'd do. I'd have to find some sucker to come in and do my laundry, cook my meals, do everything I can do. I realize more and more that the Bible tells us without me, without God, you can do nothing. And I'm at the place where I can't hardly do anything. And Vera said that's happened a long time ago. I'm looking forward to dressing in the 50s because I've never stopped dressing in the 50s. Stayed the same. Well, anyways, these things will pass. When you are good to others, you're always best to yourself. In the Peanuts cartoon, how many of you remember the Peanuts cartoon? Yeah. In the Peanuts cartoon, Lucy, you know, she's a problem. Lucy is told, "We are here to help others." Lucy answers, "And what are the others here for?" I understand that. It doesn't matter what others do, but what matters is what you do. So in days like this, our tendency is to complain, to gripe, to be grumpy, irritable, anything but doing good. When is the time to do good? When we have the opportunity. We don't always have an opportunity to do good, but when we do, we need to do good, whether we feel like it or not. If we waited to do others good only when we felt like it, we probably would never do it. One man said, "How long has your wife been in such a lousy mood?" And the man answered, "Well, going on 20 years now." Listen, if he waited for his wife to get in a good mood, he would never do any good. To whom are we to do good? Paul says here, everyone we can, but especially the household of faith. It's important that we treat each other in a very kindly way and gracious way all the time. Nothing takes the mind off self and cheers up the countenance like doing good to others. I remember and Kelly, it's good to see you. This is my daughter Kelly right here. Bless her heart. When her husband was in the hospital and it looked like he was going, "Your husband's dead." Okay, stay with me, I'll catch up on this. When he was in the hospital, didn't look like he was going to make it. I went over to visit him, and I had the privilege of leading her father-in-law to the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, you almost walk on wings when you lead somebody to Christ, when you do good to others and help others. Now, there are times when I looked at it just to be humorous. I remember visiting a man in the hospital, and I try to always to pray for those in the hospital when I left. And I forgot to pray for one man that was there. And I went back and I said, "Sir," and I was down the hall. I came back because God spoke to my heart. I came back and I said, "I forgot to pray for you and I want to apologize. Can I pray for you?" He said, "Oh yes, I wish you would." I said, "Do you know for sure if you used to die, you go to heaven?" He said, "No, I don't know for sure." Had the privilege of leading him to Jesus Christ. There was another man I was visiting in the hospital. And when I left, I didn't pray for him. And I thought about that. And I went back and I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't pray for you." He said, "That's all right." He said, "I don't care if you prayed anyhow." I said, "Well, I don't like you, so I think I won't pray." That didn't go over too good. But I prayed for him anyhow. You know one thing they can't keep us from? Praying for him. And we need to pray for one another. So don't let others. Next, the third thing is get under your skin. Galatians 6 and verse 17. "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks, the stigmata of the Lord Jesus Christ." Hospitality, said one person, is the gift of making your guests feel at home when you wish they were. What it means when someone gets under your skin, they bug you. You know, if it weren't for people, this would be a wonderful world. They upset you. A visitor said to a host, "Well, I must be going. Don't let me keep you if you must be going," said the bored host. Well, the visitor said, "Yes, I have to go, but I certainly did enjoy our little visit. Do you know when I came in here, I had a headache, and now I've lost it entirely." The host responded, "It isn't really lost. I've got it now." There are people that irritate us. Things irritate us. People irritate us. And when this happens, you may react to them when you are not in control. But if you're in control, you don't react to them. You have Christ control. Don't act. Don't react. Let Christ control you. So if we follow this thing, and I don't drive much anymore. Vera does most of the driving, and she has a wonderful spirit about other people on the road. I don't feel they should be on our road. And it used to irritate me when people blew the horn or got mad at me or waved a finger at me. And I used to think, listen, if you don't like the way I drive, stay off the sidewalk. Anyways, so don't let others control your actions. Act, don't react. So when Paul says, "Let no man trouble me," the word has caused me toil. Paul is saying of these, I'm not going to quarrel with these, not giving them the time of day. They are not going to cause me toil. We would say today in the vernacular, don't sweat. Paul is saying, I've gone through enough. I bear in my body the marks, the stigmata of the Lord Jesus Christ, the brand of Christ. I've got enough trouble without letting others cause me toil over nothing of value. When we were young in the ministry, and the church was very young, two men joined our church we didn't know that they were real troublemakers. They joined the church and they started all kinds of rumors and lies about us. And since we were so young, it bothered Vera and I terribly. We would stay up at nights. We would pray about it. We didn't know what to do about it. They were just spreading trouble in the church. And one of the things they said, to see how dumb they were, one of the things they said that the mafia was supporting our church. Well, if the mafia was supporting our church, we'd have done a lot better than what we were doing.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the Grace Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio. If you'd like to contact Pastor Bob, you can do so by writing him at Grace Baptist Church, 704 North Firestone Boulevard, Akron, Ohio, 44306. Or give us a call, area code 330-773-7884. I'd like to invite you as well to log on to our website, gracebaptistakron.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.